As well loved as The Catcher in the Rye is, it's easy to romanticize its author. But Margaret Salinger says life with her father was never easy. Margaret Salinger is the author of the memoir Dreamcatcher, and she told Anne Strangechamps, the Salinger family was isolated from the rest of the world.
Our nearest neighbors were 5 miles away, and the sort of ratio of heads of cattle to people was quite high. My father specifically looked for a place that was far from other people, and we were way, way up on a hill. And I talked to my mother in preparation for the book, and she said it was actually a very specific policy of my father's that she was not to have any of her old friends, any of her... They used to see a lot of people when they were dating. They'd see a lot of their New York friends. And it wasn't until she left him and went to New York when I was about, I don't know, 2 or 3. So, of course, I don't remember it. One of the bargaining chips, as it were, in coming back was that she be allowed to see a few friends. So there were a couple of people on the acceptable list, but very, very few.
What kind of childhood did that make for you?
There are two answers to that. I think one, as I experienced it growing up when you don't know anything else, and then another, as, you know, I have children of my own and I look back on it and I, you know, in a bit of horror, the first response I'd have as you know, from the point of view of growing up, I think I was, well, I know I was quite lonely a lot of the time. And, you know, my really happy moments were, you know, at sleepovers at friends' house, which was usually the only way I could visit because people lived so far away. And, I mean, there were things also that were very delightful about it. I mean, I spent probably, you know, the better part of my day out in the woods and fields. And, you know, I made, it sounds crazy, but, you know, I made friends with trees and little animals that I knew where they were and flowers that would come back each year. So in that sense, I think children do their best to make up what they need, but I think it was so lacking in what kids need that it... Sometimes it succeeded better than others.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine there were both terrible things about it and also a few wonderful things about it at all. And maybe that, you know, the chance to live a very intense, imaginative life maybe would have been one of the good things about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when my father was present, which had nothing to do with whether his wife or kids needed him there. You know, I'm not saying this to drive home, oh, what a bad person he is. Just that it's such a different orientation than most people, most parents anyway, that I know now. When he was around, he could be absolutely delightful and, you know, full of stories and, you know, we take wonderful walks in the woods and things and, you know, he'd make up stories throughout the day that accompanied us on our walks and a whole panoply of imaginary characters. And when you're a kid, having a dad who also plays with imaginary friends can be pretty neat. What's not neat is when you actually need some grown-ups around, like when your mother's losing her mind. And I felt from a very, very early age, probably around 5 when my brother was born, I remember even articulating this to myself, you know, thinking, I am the only grown-up in this house. Particularly when the baby would cry and would need something, and everyone thought, oh, it's so cute. You know, she's the only one who knows what's, you know, she can speak baby language. And I'm thinking, you people are crazy. The baby's hungry. I can't reach the shelf to get the formula, you know. That was when I realized something was very wrong with them that wasn't wrong with me.
So there was that level of neglect, a baby that would cry and wouldn't be fed, a diaper that wouldn't be changed, I mean, meals for you that that wouldn't happen?
Oh, for days. Absolutely. I mean, my mother would go into psychotic breaks and depressions, and my father wouldn't be in the house for 3 days at a time.
Where would he be?
Down in his little cabin working. Or sometimes when he was stuck on something, he would go away to a hotel in Atlantic City or in Montreal or someplace on the train. All I knew is he went off on the train and would send postcards and as often as not come back with a manuscript ripped up rather than finished. But he was very often not there for stretches at a time.
It's so interesting because, you know, your father's known for writing so sensitively and accurately about adolescence, and it sounds like he just could not tolerate having one of his own.
Well, he can't tolerate having someone who strays, having anyone around him who strays too far from his fantasy construct of who that person is, from the kind of authorial control that someone has over their characters. And I've seen him through the years, one by one, all his best friends would commit some, you know, unforgivable sin. And I mean, I'm not talking about murder, adultery, you know, the thou shalt nots, but something that just did not jibe with his, it's hard to explain, but his image of them as one of his characters. And they were banished. You're absolutely banished from your from his world if
your reality violates his illusion.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have a relationship with your father now?
I don't, and I knew that would happen.
Because of the book?
Yes. But it was really giving up a wish rather than a reality. I mean, when I had my son, he never, I lived 2 hours away from him, never came down, never showed any interest. And I basically had to kind of, you know, then this is when we were getting along wonderfully. You know, I basically had to take my son up and say, okay, this is enough. And I phoned his wife and said, we're coming. And she said, oh, well, let me check with him and make sure that's all right. I said, no, you're not hearing me. We are coming. You know, my son gets to meet his grandfather. The end. And it was a perfectly delightful visit. He was absolutely charmed by him, and who wouldn't be? And it was, you know, lovely and friendly and how, you know, terrific my son is. And then that's that.
And that was the last time Margaret Salinger spoke to her father. Her memoir is called Dreamcatcher. Today, Margaret Salinger is a chaplain living in New York City, and Strange Champ spoke with her.